Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
And we're off. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
Ho, did we have a game this weekend?
Crazy.
Crazy,
crazy
shit.
Crazy. One of the craziest regular season games I've seen in a long time.
Sunday night football between the two best teams in the AFC and did not disappoint.
Not in the least.
This is one of those games where ahead of the time, everyone's making jokes. Oh, is it over under 100? And so many of those times, it's sometimes a dud. Sometimes it's a defensive standoff. Sometimes one team comes out and plays and the other one doesn't. This thing lived up to it and more. It was like the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot like that game.
So it was a lot of playoff. Felt like a playoff game.
It did, right? Sure. Two of the best coaches in the league. Don't give me that Andy Reid nonsense. All right, he's one of the best coaches in the league. I know you get on here and you spout your misery about him.
It's not saying much.
He's very good, and the offensive plan for them, especially in the second half, off the charts. In the first half, Patriots were holding them in check. Seemed like Hightower came out to play big time, especially in the first half. He has the interception early, gets him some momentum, forces the fumble after that. Guy's coming to play. He's beating the shit out of Travis Kelce the whole goddamn
game. There was plays where he beat Travis Kelce and put pressure on Mahomes to make him throw the ball.
That's huge. That's what you want from him. I was thinking this week how we signed Dante Hightower, traded away Jamie Collins when they were both coming up on contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Collins doesn't play third downs now. He's a third linebacker.
No way.
In Cleveland, yeah. And he gets paid more money than Hightower. And Hightower's still out there on third downs.
Wow. He doesn't play third downs anymore, huh?
I know, right?
That's stunning.
Yeah. Things change. But I think they chose the right one. And for all of his limitations, he's still got strengths. He can still rush the passer. He's a heady player. And he plays physical.
Yeah. Yeah, he was doing pretty good. I mean, the whole defensive game plan going into the game obviously really worked. I mean, 9 points in the first half. They're basically showing all kinds of pressures. There was times where they showed eight guys blitzing and three guys ended up rushing, and eight guys blitzing and five guys ended up rushing and three dropped into coverage. And they were doing different things in the zone and, you know, having Hightower kind of be all over the place like we want to see him. And they did really good with that, obviously. I mean, 9 points, that offense in the first half was incredible. It's just in the second half, they kind of went away from that. They kind of went vanilla. Now, in fairness, too, there were a couple plays. Now, whether it was because they were getting to Mahomes or he was nervous just because of the moment, he missed throws. He wasn't looking good. There was a couple times where people would have been open. There would have been probably big gains if he completed it to the right people or, the, you know, made a right good pass. And that could have been because he was confused. I mean, that – he threw two picks. The one to Hightower was a tough one just because he didn't see Hightower. Then he threw a pick in the end zone as they're driving down the field. It was just kind of like a prayer type thing. He was just like, oh, crap, and like just, you know, threw it up and it was a pick.
Right.
And that was, I think that was because they were getting to him, though. They were confusing. He didn't know really where to go, and we were stopping the running game. They were doing everything they wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Everything we could ask from the defense, they did in the first half. The Hightower pick was complete confusion from him. He just didn't know where he was.
Right.
Perfect scheme and well executed. The second pick, it seemed like he felt like he could just touch it in there. Like he was feeling it. You know, he's guy's been hot all year. Let me just let it ride.
Yeah.
And then that one didn't get there. A couple other ones he missed. I saw him. Oh no, that was last week. Last week I saw him underthrow Tyreek Hill. It's like, whoa, I didn't realize somebody could outrun Patrick Mahomes' arm. But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Tyreek Hill. The second half, completely different story. It was like I don't know why. I don't understand the fourth quarter defense, particularly right after the fumble. So Brady gets strip sacked in a big mistake on his part. He had like 10 seconds of time. He just kept running around and running around. And at the end of it, you can't get strip sacked.
He just stood there. Brady froze, which he never does. And, well, it's going to happen. So he got strip sacked.
They take over inside the Patriots 30. And everybody knows you take a shot after a turnover like that. You get a turnover, you have great field position, you take a shot at the end zone. This team is the king of taking shots. It's a fucking slam dunk. And we come out and two straight plays, we play zero coverage. No safety help on anybody.
Yeah.
It's like, how is that your game plan? Who thought that was a good idea?
Right.
And then they follow that up with the Tyreek Hill touchdown pass where he just ran across the field in front of everybody. It's like, you know that's exactly what's going to happen. So
about their final touchdown?
No. This is the one at the very end of the third quarter. Okay. Right after Brady strip sack.
It was like a
15-yard touchdown. It wasn't that big a deal, but they just handed it to him. So they put him across from it might have been Jason McCourty. I can't remember exactly who it was, but so he's playing in the slot directly across from one of the cornerbacks, and the safety is stacked directly on top of that cornerback. So that's not even really safety help. He's not going to run through the cornerback to get to the safety. He's going to run to the side.
Yeah.
So the corner should be playing on one side and the safety playing on the other side, so he can't just run around everybody. He's got to run towards someone. And it's like, what do you think this team's been doing since Tyreek Hill got onto it? They just point him in a direction and go, all right, run faster than anybody can in that direction. We'll throw it deep. We just handed them that touchdown. I don't even want to talk about the last Tyreek Hill touchdown pass. 75-yarder with 3 minutes to go. How do we just give that to them with a 7-point lead?
The defense they were running was a joke.
Yeah. Right.
They had everybody in coverage. They had 8 guys in coverage in prevent, and the basic thing was don't let anyone get behind you. And if you watch the replay, Harmon is really deep, and then 20 yards in front of him, or 4 people lined up across the field, and he got 10 yards in between those Harmon and the group of 4.
Right.
Caught it wide open. And then turned on the Jets. It just burnt Harmon. I mean, that's going to happen. I'm not mad that he burnt Harmon. That's going to happen. I'm mad that there was 5 guys that were so far apart and they let that much space up 25 yards down the field.
Right.
It's like your whole point is to make sure no one gets behind you. That's the only point of that defense. And that's exactly what you did. Now, luckily, was actually kind of ended up in our favor that they scored so fast.
I know, right? It's the old but, just let them score so we still have time left.
Yeah. So, definitely a tale of two halves with this defense. I mean, defensive line, the first half played really good. Trey Flowers played really good. I thought Jason McCourty actually had a pretty good game for most of the first half. We already talked about Hightower, Lawrence Guy, Danny Shelton have really kind of taken a hold of the interior position. I don't know. I haven't seen Brown too much in that game. I don't know if that was game plan based or whatever. And Landon Roberts is
actually the best option.
Yeah, Landon Roberts actually had 7 tackles and played decently and didn't look like completely out of place in this game, which was nice because this is a really tough offense. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it seemed like everything in the second half, the defense was just everything moved too fast for them. They were trying to catch their breath and figure out what was going on. And before you knew it, the Chiefs would score. And then let's go to prevent to fix everything. No. Why did you go away from the defense that was confusing the shit out of the quarterback the first half? Why don't you just tweak that a little bit to still confuse them and do something? But no. Now, on the flip side of that, 40 points is a little deceptive because 7 of them were given up on a kick return that went 90, went to the 3. Yeah. And then, so you can't blame that on the defense. And then Brady's 4 strip sack, I mean, they were in field goal range when they stripped them. So there's an automatic 3. They end up scoring 7. So that's 14 points.
That's 11.
No, it isn't.
That's 10.
No, I thought they scored a touchdown on both of those.
They did, yeah. But they
were in field goal range, but they gave up the touchdown in the boneheaded way I just described. So that's right. 4 points right there. Plus the seven off the kick return. All right, so three for the field goal. Anyway, we don't need to do
that. Regardless.
Yeah, they played a great first half, terrible second half. I feel like we're getting away from the fact that Patriots won this game.
Yeah, and they won. They won, I know, right? So it's fine.
They won. It's okay. It doesn't bode well. We knew the defense had serious problems, and they showed themselves. I don't understand lack of safety help over a speedster like that and giving up 31 points in the second half when the team has, like, they probably had the ball for like 10, 12 minutes in the second half, the Chiefs. 31 points in a half of football.
Well, that's because it was so quick. Yeah. Everything they did was so fast.
I know, right? Especially the kick return takes like 10 seconds. 75-yard touchdown takes about the same.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of time of possession in the second half. We're able to rack up a whole bunch of points real quickly. But the Patriots were able to hang with them. And I think the reason is in the first half, they were able to jump out to a lead. Yeah. Like we talked about before. I mean, it starts from the very beginning. First, they go for it on fourth down, the first possession. You knew they meant business at that point. Then defensively.
I thought it was a little risky.
It is risky, but they knew they weren't going to be able to stop them. They still didn't make them punt in the whole first half as well as they played.
Yeah.
It was just field goals and interceptions. Defensively, they were putting in all those wrinkles, all those confusing coverages and packages, and then they were able to capitalize on the takeaways, stop them in the red zone, get to a lead, and then control the ball. Sony Michel had 26 carries, I think, in this game. 24 for 106. He's becoming a bell cow back there.
I like it. And then James White, dude, 6 for 39. I don't know what has happened to him running the ball. Because he used to not be able to take a handoff. Now he gets like fucking... He's getting like 6 yards a carry.
I know, like, and he's shifting.
Average. He's really good with the ball in his hands. It's awesome. Offensively... It's really coming together for the Patriots. Now, I know this is a bad defense. This is the third week in a row we've scored over 38.
Oh, wow. And when you put it that way, that's pretty impressive.
That it doesn't matter who you're playing. You're still playing in the NFL. If you score over 38 points 3 weeks in a row, your offense is fucking coming together.
Yeah, it's doing well.
Early in the game, he was really going to Gordon, and it seems like Brady really likes Gordon, which is really... could be really fun to watch once, because there was a couple throws that Brady missed or Gordon ran the wrong route or whatever. They weren't on the same page, but the ones that they do get on, or the ones that are on the same page, it's pretty, and Gordon's hands are ridiculous.
Yeah, he's got sticky hands. I know, I was thinking about the comeback route on the left sideline.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The timing was off, and then also that was on a third down, and then also there was a third down in the red zone where Gordon ran an out route. It was against a zone coverage, and Brady threw it to the hole in the coverage, and Gordon just kind of continued running his out route to the back pylon.
Right.
Ended up being behind him because Gordon didn't sit down in the zone. He didn't recognize it. But still, to make that throw on third down in those two big situations shows how much he believes in him and wants to lean on him.
Yeah, Brady really likes him. So that's going to be real fun to watch in the next so many weeks. And we just hope that he can keep it together. We don't want to keep beating that horse, but hopefully he will. Gronk.
I would also point out that maybe it's McDaniels that really likes him.
Could be, but actually before the game, I don't know what this means, but Brady posted on his Instagram a picture of Gordon, an artsy picture of Gordon catching the 500th, his 500th pass and going, "Let's go."
Oh, good. And
it's like Brady hasn't really posted any player pictures on his Instagram since I've been following him for a year or whatever it is. So it's like, that means something. Fucking likes Andy was going to him early. And not only that, like when we first got Gordon, he really wasn't looking at him. I felt like almost every play Brady took a look his way, see where he was at. Which is pretty interesting.
The other receivers that were able to make plays, Chris Hogan, big time fourth quarter.
Yeah, big time fourth quarter. Didn't do anything until then. And then for one drive, he had the catch that was actually PI on it, and he still caught it, which was impressive. And then a 15-yard play to get him even closer to the to the end zone. So as we're seeing, and then Edelman had 454 on a touchdown. They're still easing him back. It doesn't seem like Brady's trying to overly go to him like he has done in the past.
Right.
Which, so they're trying to ease him back, but it's pretty obvious that they like Hogan, and Philip Dorsett seems out. He seems like the number five receiver, because even Patterson got a play or two.
Yeah, Patterson's going to still be a gadget player. I know, yeah. We talked about this. Is where does Chris Hogan fall? Where does Philip Dorsett fall? I thought they would both. I thought Dorsett would be closer to Patterson, but I thought he would be more than Patterson. I thought he'd be like 40% of the snaps. Yeah. But he's clearly been leapfrogged by Josh Gordon. Chris Hogan's snaps aren't going anywhere.
Doesn't seem like it.
And yeah, so the top of the depth chart's pretty solidified. Philip Dorsett's on the outside looking in right now.
Yep. And then Gronk was quiet for the first half. They didn't really need him. And then the second half, when they needed him, two huge plays, three receptions for 97 yards. Interesting that they're not going to him as much in the end zone. They're not looking at him as much. Which is a little weird, but, I mean, there was one streak where he got that was unbelievable, and then the last drive of the game where he just stiff-armed someone. It was awesome.
Yeah. When we needed a play, that's where you go.
Yeah, and that's what he does.
And Brady put one perfectly on him on that last drive. I was, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was a thing of beauty. Just watching that, I was oh, it's exactly what we need. And he just puts it right where it's got to be. Gronk creates a separation, makes himself open, and then finishes the play.
Mm-hmm. So, offense is, you know, it's funny. Like, what was it after the Detroit game? You're like, watch us in like 3 weeks just be talking about how great this offense is. and on that, we have no problems. And now we do. The offense is firing, not even on all cylinders yet. It's like, it still has room to grow, which I think is the most impressive thing, because once Brady and Gordon get on the same page, it's just going to be scary.
Yeah, and Edelman gets his legs under him.
And Edelman gets his legs back.
What if Gronk becomes more integral part of the offense, whereas right now he's like a break in case of emergency type of player.
Literally. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And then Burkhead, if he can come back from the IR, whenever that is in a couple weeks, I mean, that'll just add another little piece to the puzzle there.
More depth at running back.
I mean, and then you have Dorsett on your bench, who's only going to learn the offense more and was solid as a number two or three when we needed him.
Yeah. Yeah, he proved he was good enough to play.
So, I mean, yeah, Sony Michel's really coming on. Kenyon Barner even got 3 carries for 16 yards. It really comes down to the offensive line is just owning it.
They were, they were run blocking their asses off.
Just mauling people. I mean, I was just like, let's watch Trent Brown on this play. He just takes his guy and just not even a chance. The defender had no chance. It's like, that is just beautiful.
I love doing that. I love just picking out different players to focus on during a play. Yeah. And Trent Brown is probably my favorite one on the whole team to do that.
He is awesome.
Trey Flowers is another really good one. But yeah, you just watch Trent Brown and you're just like, it looks like he's got a foot and 50 pounds on everybody out there. And
everyone on the field. And every time they call out, you know, his stats, they're like, oh, big left tackle, 6'8", 385. It's like, did they just say 385?
I'm still not used to it.
No one is. It's like everyone in the room is just like looking at me. They're like, that can't be right there. And I'm like, no, that's what it says on the roster. He's 385. Yeah. So they still got two total sacks. One was on the strip sack, which wasn't the offensive line's fault. They had
sack.
Probably 10 minutes.
Bonehead to play, yeah.
And then I can't remember the other one, but it might have been a strip sack again that Brady recovered, or Andrews recovered, or one of us recovered. So,
yeah, Brady fumbled twice. Andrews recovered it.
I mean, these two teams might see each other again.
That's what everyone keeps saying. And every time you say that, I just don't know. Like last year when the Pats went into Pittsburgh and
everyone said you're going to see them again.
This is going to be the AFC Championship game. And then you don't know.
You don't know. But that was supposed to be the AFC Championship game.
It was supposed to be. But who would have given us a more of a run for our money? The Jags or the Steelers? Because the Jags gave us everything we could freaking hate.
Definitely the Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really the Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill show. They did a great job on Travis Kelce.
Oh,
God. And hitting him at the line.
Long touchdown catch. That one really
killed
hurt.
Killed me. Yeah, that hurt.
They had it covered up, and then it was Mahomes escaped a little bit. He made some more time, and then they just turned him loose afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, that's Troy Aikman's favorite phrase. If you're watching Troy Aikman loose. Call a game, he's like, "Oh, they and the coverage just turns him loose. Oh, they turned him loose. Turn him loose."
He all the time.
It, he says it like every other play.
Yeah.
It's his version of Tony Romo's. I don't know, Jim. It's his version of that. Turn him loose.
Yep. That's funny. But yeah, Kareem Hunt is clearly always gives us some trouble, and Tariq Hill is just a ridiculous player. So, I mean, out of them two and then Kelsey, we limited Kelsey, and which seemed like a smart move because Mahomes didn't really know where to go as his go-to guy type of thing. You know what I mean?
That's the thing is Kelsey is a safety blanket.
He's that safety net, 100%. Yeah. Like Brady was for our first three games, or I mean, like Gronk was for Brady our first few games.
Yeah. And
kind of that panic.
It's back to that the tight end is a quarterback's best friend. It's that whole thing because Tyreek Hill is their best offensive player outside of Mahomes, but he's not he's the kind of guy that he makes big plays, and if he's open, he's really open.
Yeah.
Whereas Kelsey is like he's always kind of open. So
yeah, you can always throw him the ball.
He's 6'5". He's got long arms. He's athletic. He runs great routes. He's always kind of open.
Yeah, you can go to him, and he has a chance on it.
Whereas Tyreek Hill is not that way. He's more of a light on, light switch on, light switch off kind of guy.
Yeah, and when the light is on, holy crap, watch out.
Holy shit, it's bright.
The most surprising thing, this was a great game. The most surprising thing to me was how Brady went 24-35, which is really good, 340 yards, and only threw for one freaking touchdown.
Yeah, well, he ran one in. Did he run two in? No, he just ran one in.
One in, but still, it's like they score 43 fucking points.
I'm pretty concerned, actually, about our inside the 5 yard line offense. It seems like we get in there and we need to run it like 2-3 times in order to punch it in sometimes.
They're like, getting better. They went for it on fourth down and Sony got it. I think that's going to come.
I hope so. Because
I don't know why they don't go to Gronk. Haven't they gone to Gronk inside the 5?
I know that used to be his load of attention, but
well, with exactly. I mean, between Edelman, I mean, he always has that 2014 Seattle Super Bowl touchdown route. Play. That's just like, seems like a given.
That push-off route?
That little, that's little in-out. Little in-out.
Everyone knows it's a push-off. You run that little out and you give the push on the inside.
And now that Gordon's getting together, so it's a lot on Gordon.
Okay.
Let's hope that keeps moving forward.
We should probably talk about the sack that wasn't a sack against on Brady's touchdown run.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
I don't remember the guy's name, but he wrapped up Brady and then let him go as Brady was pump faking because he thought he threw the ball and he didn't want to get a roughing the passer call. So this is what he said afterwards.
It was a little bit of that. I don't know how much of it was him being off balance. He could have just been off balance. He was in an awkward position.
Yeah, Breland Speaks. That's his name. They didn't even give him a quarterback hit on that play. I don't know how they do these stats. Seemed like he hit him.
seemed like he hit him.
Yeah, but so he lets go of Brady, and then Brady scrambles in. The thing that people keep forgetting, they called defensive holding on the play. I know it was third down.
Right.
But defensive holding puts you
is defensive
at the 2 yard line, first and goal.
Right.
It's like, was that really that big a play?
No.
I don't. It seemed like
it's just stupid.
Some people wanted to hang the loss on that idea. Oh, the refs, this and that. It's like, I don't know. That seems
well.
Like
other people were bitching that the Patriots didn't get any called for penalties. Like they got a couple offsetting ones and stuff like that. And it's like,
oh, they're disciplined. They must be cheating.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, it's the thing that it comes down to, which I kind of like, but it's a little tough. Is that when games are close, it seems like, or there's a big game coming in at least, that the NFL tells those refs, don't call a tight game. Let them play. Because the only things they were calling were blatant. Like,
right?
couldn't not call it, or there'd be an outrage. Like that pass interference on Hogan. Like, the guy was holding his arm, like being dragged by Hogan's arm. It's like, well, you can't call around that. Like, even on that kick return that the guy went for, like, 97 yards or whatever, they were like, what a great block by this guy. And you just see the whoever it was just shoving Matthew Slater to the ground from the back. And it's like, well, that is a quintessential block in the back if I've ever seen it. Text but, yeah, they're not calling anything it's got to be, like, defined in the textbook as that penalty, or they're not calling it. Which is it's a better way of doing things. Yeah, you have to. I mean, you don't want replacement ref games where they're calling like
everything's a call.
Ridiculous things. Yeah, exactly.
Legal contact like 7 times a game.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things they should call a little more, but yeah, I don't know. So
is this an AFC championship game preview?
Could be. I mean, who else is in the AFC right now that's killing
it? Exactly. That's the problem. It's mid-October. Who knows?
You don't know.
Last year, the Jaguars were 3-3 at this time.
Yeah, and there's the really good defensive teams haven't really spawned yet. Like, they're still trying to figure out how good of a defense and what they're supposed to do to be a good defense. You look at around the league, like the Ravens. I mean, Minnesota, people keep throwing out there.
Houston
should be good. Like, you know, the Chargers should be good. I mean, but Buffalo's actually one of the better defenses in the league. Mm-hmm.
That's just because people don't show up offensively for that game.
Yeah. So look around the league last week. You had the Eagles beat the Giants. The Giants are just a shit mess right now. Nate Solder signing for $50 million is making Bill look like a genius right now.
$60 million
because he's playing okay, but the offensive line sucks. So
that's what we knew. We knew he was an average, maybe above average tackle, and that was about it.
Right. And he's the highest paid guy now. What else? Falcons, Bucks. No one really cares. They fired their defensive coordinator already, so that's good.
The Bucks did, yeah. That's just a stepping stone. Dirk Cutter's getting axed pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yep. Redskins beat the Panthers in a pretty big game there.
Yeah, they went up to a big lead and tried to give it away, but they were able.
Yeah. They were able to hang on. Seahawks kicked the crap out of the Raiders. John Gruden's first stint is just he's having a tough go.
I've been hearing people talk about Derek Carr being on the block.
Really?
Could happen.
He's not looking good, man.
He looks real bad. Maybe it's a – I don't know if it's a slow uptake. It seems like things are just real shitty for that team right now.
Yeah, they don't have a lot going on for him. Jets beat the Colts in a big, big point game.
Did you see the end of the Steelers game? Steelers-Bengals. And the Bengals score late to take the
lead. And then
no, they tied it up.
Yeah, and then they
tied it up.
And then Big Ben just throws Antonio Brown for like a touchdown or something.
They had like 40 seconds to make that drive. And then, they just spring. They turned him loose. They just spring Antonio Brown loose on like a 2-yard slant. He takes it to the house.
That was pretty fucking good.
They were getting ready to kick a field goal.
Yep.
And then he just takes it all the way. Whoop, done.
Game over. Chargers beat the crap out of the Browns. Texans finally get another win over the Bills, which is nice.
The Texans, they can't – there's no offensive line there. It's been the same problem for like 3 years now. They haven't
I don't understand these teams that it's like, okay, your offensive line sucks. And they're like, doesn't matter. We have a mobile quarterback. They'll get around it. The Seahawks do the same thing. It's like, why don't you draft 2 or 3 fucking offensive linemen so this doesn't happen?
Well, because the defensive linemen look so good. We gotta get another edge rusher. We don't have enough.
Right, literally. It's a joke. It's a fucking joke. Do you see the Bears-Dolphins game?
Yeah, the Bears, I really wanted, what's that kicker's name? I don't even know.
I don't remember.
I really wanted him to hit that long field goal in overtime.
Osweiler
turns it around.
Osweiler, there's some kind of controversy going down in Miami with Tannehill, which always happens.
Way.
Yeah, right?
Who in their right mind thinks Osweiler should be a starting quarterback?
No. It's not that they want Osweiler to start. It's that Tannehill was supposed to play in the game and then I don't know what happened, but basically what happened?
I saw him on the sideline. He was there.
Yeah, he was on the sideline. Something happened with his shoulder during the week or the game before, and it wasn't really on the injury report, and then he was a no-go. So, okay, something must have happened, whatever. But then after the game, during Adam Gase's press conference. Obviously, the reporters, hey, so what's the situation with Tannehill? You know, how's it, you know, is he, when is he playing? What's the status? And he was just pissed. Adam Gase was just fired up going, I don't know what you want me to say. I don't want to answer questions about this guy anymore. Couldn't go. We found out he couldn't go. Like, what I said between me and him is between me and him. And, you know, I'm done answering about this guy. He wouldn't refer to him by name, wouldn't refer to his name. And now he's not playing again. So apparently the NFL is looking into like what the injury is and why, you know, how, if it was reported correctly and all that stupid crap. But it's just very interesting that like everyone thought there was no question that he wasn't going to play. Then he doesn't play because of his shoulder. And, you know, some of the rumors are that like the coaches thought he could play and he didn't want to. Is kind of like the air
because they're getting from this on the other team.
Yeah, he like didn't want to go or something like that, or didn't want to tough through it and could have played. Like structural damage wouldn't be affected, kind of like the Aaron Rodgers situation. Like, oh, you can play, but you know it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it's going. That's what people think, but nothing's confirmed. So something to keep people's eyes on.
Wow, this is great. I love when these mediocre quarterbacks get giant contracts and don't get better. And it's like, what'd you think you had? You had five years to evaluate the guy. What did you think he was?
So, yeah, Swiler's going again this week. But Rams eked it out against the Broncos. It wasn't a close game, but Broncos came pretty close somehow in the end. Mm-hmm. Ravens blew out the Titans. The Titans are all over the place, as usual.
Titans had that big win against Philly, and then they just laid down in Buffalo.
They're just a soft game.
Kinda, I know, right? Yeah, it's the Ravens got 11 sacks. 11 sacks in this game.
Yeah. Where's Tyler Llewellyn? Where are you? What are you doing?
Llewellyn.
Dude's a beast.
The other game that really stuck out to me, I mean, do you see the Monday night game? I mean,
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, a magician out there.
I mean, yeah, you knew what was going to happen.
Just
knew. Oh, unbelievable.
The fact that he could do it two drives in a row where he's just throwing back shoulders. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
And nobody's adjusting.
The friggin' Niners had him. They shut him down twice. And I was like, wow, they're actually kind of beating up on him. And there was one call in the end zone that they called. It was fourth down. The Packers were going for it, and the cornerback legit tackled the receiver, and they didn't call PI. I was like, that is ugly.
The other game I wanted to mention was the Jaguars got spanked.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
by that, the boys.
And not only did they get spanked off, they couldn't score. They gave up 40 points.
Yeah, right.
The supposed best defense in the league.
Most
who played
talented.
Really good against us, gave up 40. And now remember a couple weeks ago when I said, oh, the Jags beat us, and that was like their Super Bowl and they're super amped. They are 3 or 4 cents.
Three of four?
They've dropped through. They have three losses and one win since they played us.
Right, they're 1-3.
As their big game. Well, sorry, 1-3 is the way to put it. And their defense is playing terrible.
Yeah.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
The Cowboys' offense hasn't looked good all season.
Terrible, dude! They don't have any receivers. They have nobody. Everybody's been shutting them down.
Cole Beasley this week, but yeah, they don't have any.
I don't even
know
how. Why don't they just put Ramsey on him? Call it a day. All right, go to somebody else.
Ramsey really doesn't play in the slot much. That's why they put Boye on him, and Boye couldn't keep up.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it didn't work out, but at that point, double the guy. There's only one guy offensively. Dak Prescott threw for 180 yards. He put up 40 points with only 180 yards passing. Yeah, 180 yards.
That's pathetic.
Zeke went for barely over 100. I mean, it's not like it was an incredibly dominant performance. I didn't get to catch too much of the game. I don't know how many turnovers there were. Knowing Blake Bortles, I'm sure there were multiple.
Yeah, I'm sure there were. Blake has come down to earth hard.
Thinking about the Cowboys' defense should be a very good unit. It should be. Sean Lee didn't play in this game, and normally they fall apart without him.
Yep.
No Sean Lee. They got the rookie Van Der Esch from Boise State, first round pick, a guy that's got all the talent you could ever ask for. Next to him is Jalen Smith. We know about the edge rushers, DeMarcus Lawrence, Nate Irving. David Irving. And then Byron Jones is playing as well as any cornerback in the league right now.
Yeah.
You got all the makings of a dominant defense. They just got to put it together.
So maybe this is the first step.
Yeah.
So, decent weekend of football. Another one coming up. We got the Bears at 1 on Sunday.
I know. Did you see Khalil Mack miss practice today?
Yeah, I hope he's got an ankle injury.
Yeah, he hurt his ankle down in Miami. I think conditioning might have been another issue for him. But as soon as he came out of the game, that defense was different.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so if he's not 100%, that makes a huge difference.
I know. At the same time, Marcus Cannon missed practice with a concussion. Cannon's our right tackle. Khalil Mack plays left defensive end. That's the matchup to watch. So they're both banged up. So it's almost like, I don't know which side you'd rather be on.
Right.
Marcus Cannon, if it's a concussion, he might not be back. LaAdrian Waddle took over during the Chiefs game. He's good. We like him. He's not Marcus Cannon, though.
No, Marcus Cannon, you don't notice he's over there, which is great. You notice LaAdrian Waddle. That's the difference.
That's the difference.
Not in a good way, you notice him. So this is actually a pretty good Bears squad. I mean, right now they're scoring 27.8 yards per game. That's good for 10th in the league. Yards-wise, they're 19th. 22nd in passing, 8th in rushing. Defensively, they're 4th overall as a unit. Mostly because Khalil Mack, but several other players. Mm-hmm. That's good for 19.2 yards or points allowed a game. 10th in yards. So it's pretty good. Solid squad all around. They're 3-2.
Defensive tackle.
Yes, they do.
What's his name?
He's a fucking beast. I don't even know right now. Couldn't even tell you.
Akeem Hicks. You love that dude. I know. Every time you watch them play, he's a monster. He's unblockable.
He owns it. The fact that we got rid of him, we didn't sign him again for, it was like $5 million a year or something.
It's like,
holy crap, is that worth it?
Yeah, that one.
The games they've lost were, pretty close. They lost to Green Bay by a point in the season opener. And that could have been a lot uglier just because Aaron Rodgers got hurt and was out for like a half or something like that. They beat Seattle by a touchdown. They beat Arizona by 2. They beat the shit out of Tampa. And they lost by 3 last week against Miami. So they're not going to be happy about that coming back home. So yeah.
It's a pretty decent team. It is. Offensively, they're
limited, better than I expected.
Severely limited. Defensively, they got talent. The back end of the defense doesn't have quite as much. Prince Amukamara is a serviceable cornerback. They have Kyle Fuller across from him, who's better, but still, these aren't top-notch corners.
No.
And now with all the weapons that we have currently, that shouldn't be the biggest issue. Keeping Brady upright definitely is. Akeem Hicks is a very good pass rusher. Khalil Mack might be the best one in the league. At the other outside linebacker position, you got Leonard Floyd, who is above average. He's a good pass rusher. He's a very good football player. Pass rushing, he's just pretty good at. And then in the center, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, solid linebackers. Roquan is a guy that I think is going to be an all-pro.
Yeah.
He's not there yet. He didn't get to camp until like September. I don't know what took him so long to sign. But it's a really good defense. I don't know what the weakness is. I would imagine it's the secondary.
So yeah. If you're what are their who are their safeties?
Eddie Jackson and Adrian Amos.
So I don't even know who the hell they are. So
yep, can't pretend to know.
There's your fucking weakness.
Yeah, could be. Eddie Jackson played at Alabama, so he comes with some talent. I just want to see more of what we've been doing. You mentioned we've had 38 points in 3 consecutive games. I want to see a lot of Sony Michel. I want to see Josh Gordon continue to improve. I want to see Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski used as needed.
Yep.
And James White making plays on third down. Pretty simple. I don't expect this. We talk about this being a good defense. How many points the Dolphins put up last week? Over 30.
31. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know Khalil Mack got hurt and had to spend some time on the sideline. But come on, that's Brock Osweiler.
That's a Brock Osweiler-led offense. And Albert Wilson, who is their second receiver, had like 183 yards.
Yeah, he broke a couple ones. He's good in the open field.
Still.
I know. I know.
Still. I mean, yeah, I'll give the guy all the credit you want, but come on.
Offensively, different story.
A little different story. Good old Mitch Trubisky there.
Everything has to do with Mitchell Trubisky.
He's actually completing 70% of his passes this season.
Yeah, because he's throwing him 3 yards down the field.
Okay.
He is.
He's got 7.8 yards attempt.
Nope. Does he really?
Yeah.
Shit.
11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 105.6 passer rating. I thought he sucked.
I want to see if you take the Buccaneers game out of this, where he had like 5 touchdown passes and 350. Right. If you take that game out, because the Buccaneers defense, there are some real bad defenses in the league. That might be the worst. Yeah. As bad as the Chiefs defense is, I think the Buccaneers might be the worst.
Well, they're like neck and neck for yards and everything.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. So if you take that one with a grain of salt, that drops him back to like 6 touchdowns. And I don't know how many yards per attempt that bounces.
4 interceptions. And that definitely drops his completion percentage in yards and everything. So, okay, fair enough.
All you got to do is watch him play. And you're like, he doesn't look comfortable. He's not progressing in his reads. He doesn't deliver the ball in tight windows. He doesn't anticipate throws. He's a great athlete. He's a really good athlete and can move.
He just looks like he's shitting his pants at all times.
Yeah, but if you make him do anything besides what he absolutely wants to do and intends to do, falls apart.
Yeah. Outside, they've got decent guys. Taylor Gabriel is actually a pretty good player. Very fast. Very fast. It's got 300 yards right now, 2 TDs. So, you know, only 11.2 per reception. So you're right. They're not going down the field. Nobody's averaging over 13 yards per reception for them. So, nothing great. Allen Robinson was a ridiculous deep threat, but he had that ACL injury. I don't know how he's come back from that. He looks okay.
It's I don't know if he's the same. Back. Sometimes it takes people longer.
Yeah, so he's probably not 100%. And then they have a decent running game between Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen.
It's better than decent. This is one of the best running games in the league. Howard, it's a classic thunder and lightning. I think Tariq Cohen might be the number one back now. For a long time, I've been saying that for a long time.
If you mean the season or coming up?
I think going forward this season.
Oh, wow.
And I think a little bit right now he's taken over. You can do so many more things with a back like Tariq Cohen than you can with Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
I've been wanting the Bengals to use Giovanni Bernard like this forever. And instead they just relegate him to the sideline and he gets like 15 snaps a game. Like, he's your best back.
Yeah.
Put him on the field. Not anymore. Joe Mixon's actually playing great now. But when they had Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, it was like, put Gio Bernard in there, would you?
Mm-hmm.
He gets you yardage. But anyway, they're both great players. Jordan Howard's been over 1,000 yards every year in the league.
What's that, Tariq year? Cohen?
No, like 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. Jordan Howard was in the same draft as Ezekiel Elliott. Not to toot my own horn, but I wrote that he'd be the second best back in that draft class.
Yeah, 2 years, 1,000 yards, okay.
Yeah, but Tariq Cohen's a really, really good player, and I think if you watch All Access this week, Belichick's going to be talking about Tariq Cohen. Guaranteed.
The dude's got 259 receiving yards.
Yeah, he's a player. He makes plays in the open field. He shakes coverages. He's real good. Jordan Howard's got plenty of power. Offensive line is good. They're pretty solid. They got Kyle Long at right guard, who's a Pro Bowl caliber player. Bobby Massey comes in with a lot of experience. They're pretty good up front.
Yeah.
It's just Trubisky. And their offensive coach, their head coach is Matt Nagy, who came out of the Andy Reid coaching tree. And it seems like a lot of those people are succeeding. Doug Peterson seems pretty good. I like a lot of what I'm seeing out of Frank Reich in Indianapolis. Matt Nagy's got a lot of the same principles. I expect the Bears to do well on the first drive, and then I think it's going to go to shit.
Yeah, once that offensive game plan is run out.
Yeah, because that's a classic Andy Reid thing, is they script the first 10 plays of the game.
And then they always
get to
work out.
End of the script, and you're like, oh, shoot, we only practiced those plays.
Yep.
And now, it Patriots. Helps when you got the talent that they have in Kansas City, but when you got Mitchell Trubisky there and he's working with, like, Windows 95 in his head, not exactly the most processing power you're going to get.
Yep.
So, yeah, so, how do you see this game playing out? It's in Chicago, should be noted.
Yeah, I think, I mean, their defense might get to us a little bit. We might have a couple of punts, but I don't think we're really going to miss much of a beat offensively. There's just, I mean, those three games where we've scored that many points, we haven't played a great defense really at all. We've played some pretty bad defenses, and this is a really good one. But it's just, I mean, if Gordon can progress as he has been and everything else just runs the way it has, they can't keep up. They won't keep up with us. Mitch can't keep up with us, and they don't have their running game. I mean, it can only go so far.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's going to be, I'm going to go 34-17.
I was going to go 31-21.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they'll do okay. 31-20. Let me take that back. I think we'll have a couple of red zone stops. But our defense still isn't that good.
I think they're all right. I mean, especially, we'll see. This is a good offense to give a measuring stick against for them. Because the defense blew out Miami, which put up 31 on this defense with Osweiler. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't, you know, that's kind of weird. So here's an offense that's got some talent, good offensive line, pretty decent receivers. Like you said, one of the top running games, and just a mediocre quarterback. So if we can hold them to less than 20, I'd say, all right, that's a great step in the right direction. You know, we can keep these mediocre offenses or little better than mediocre offenses in check.
Yeah.
Which would be
good. Yeah, I'd agree. Less than 20 would be a solid goal. I'd be very happy with that. It all, a lot of it depends on, well, I guess the how well we play offensively depends on how well Khalil Mack's able to play.
Right.
Is he Defensive Player of the Year right now?
Absolutely.
He's got to be,
He's got five sacks from four forced fumbles.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's an animal.
It's like ridiculous. So,
so good.
We got coming up here in this week of football. Let's see,
Broncos at Cardinals on Thursday night. Cardinals are atrocious to watch. David Johnson's like, I don't even know what to say about David Johnson. I feel like they're not using him right, or they're not using him enough, not throwing him the ball. But even when
I've never really been sold on him.
Oh my goodness, he used to be so good laterally. That's what happens when you blow out your knee. Can't move laterally.
Yeah, Titans-Chargers actually an intriguing game. Chargers coming off a big win. Titans coming up arguably their worst loss in a long time. So,
yeah.
Battle for
11 sacks.
Yeah.
I can't get over that number.
And the Chargers have a very good pass rush, so they're going to have to fix that quick. Jags-Texans, kind of a battle for the AFC South. The division's exactly wide open now.
Yeah, both teams come in at 3-3. The Texans are on a 3-game winning streak, and you can make a strong case they should have lost all three of those games. Seriously.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
And now they're playing the Jaguars in Jacksonville. They're coming off of two pretty embarrassing losses. Jaguars are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem. I wouldn't want to be Deshaun Watson this weekend.
No.
I think they're going to turn the dogs loose.
Eagles Panthers, decent game there.
Someone was trying to establish themselves this year.
Yep, you got the Vikes Jets as whatever. Bills Colts is just a laugher. Same with the Browns Bucks.
Oh, Lions, my goodness, Browns Bucks.
That'll actually be fun to watch. That'll be great offensively.
Dude, you love Baker Mayfield. You love the Browns.
No, they have a lot of talent. They have some talent over there.
They do. They do. Every time I notice Miles Jack, every time. I mean, Miles
Carlos. Garrett. Yeah, Miles Garrett's a freak.
Miles Garrett's a freak.
That cornerback they drafted is actually pretty good.
I know. Everyone's giving him shit, me included.
Yeah.
Not taking Bradley Chubb, and Denzel Ward's playing great.
He's playing really well. They got Jarvis Landry's playing really good. Carlos Hyde's good. I mean, they got some players over there that are likable. Lions Dolphins, no big deal there, but the real big one, Saints Ravens. That's fun.
Ravens. Ooh.
That's a fun game. High-powered offense versus high-powered defense. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I would say the Ravens offense is better than the Saints defense, but the Saints offense better than the Ravens defense. So that kind of balances it out a little bit. You got the Saints have looked so good recently that I got to lean pretty hard that way. But, oh boy, the Vegas is not. Vegas is leaning towards Baltimore.
Really? What's the spread?
2.5.
It's in Baltimore. That's probably
It's in Baltimore. Justin Tucker, can that guy please miss a field goal one of these times?
You probably will now that you said it. Yeah, Cowboys at Redskins. See if the Cowboys can keep that fire going.
They need to. The Redskins coming off their biggest win of the year. Same thing for the Cowboys. Both teams are hoping to be. The NFC East is wide open.
Wide open.
Yeah, the Giants only team that can't win it are the Giants. The
Giants suck. The Eagles haven't taken it, so the boys, the Redskins, have a chance to eke in. Rams, Niners, no one cares. The Rams probably kick their ass. Bengals, Chiefs. That's
another
a good
game flexed to Sunday Night Football for the Chiefs. Two weeks in a row. Do they have a letdown?
I think. I hope they don't, because I don't like the Bengals, and I don't want to.
You don't like the Bengals? Why not?
No, I've never liked the Bengals. What do you mean? Why not?
They're dumb. They're lovable losers.
No, they're not. They have Marvin Lewis as their quarterback for the 10th year, whatever it is, and he is terrible.
More like the 16th.
Whatever it is, exactly. It's even worse. He is. Yeah. Remember, we've argued about him, and I
know,
convinced you.
You convinced me.
I don't like them, and I don't want them to win, and I also don't want it to take away from our win beating the Chiefs. I'd rather the Chiefs fall apart the following week and every week after that.
But if it's this week and every week after it, then we broke them.
That's fine too. But yeah. The Bengals, they've got a good record right now. I don't want them to do anything. They're 4-2.
I would love for them to bump either the Steelers or the Ravens out of the playoffs. That would be great.
You're right. That's a good point.
I would love it.
That's a good point. And then
it's in Arrowhead. We should note that the Chiefs are damn near dominant at home.
Yeah, the Bengals have no chance. and Giants at Falcons is just a snooze fest Monday night, but I'll probably tune in for a few minutes anyways.
I'll definitely tune in. Falcons can't play defense with all the injuries, and the Giants. Odell Beckham, for the second week in a row, went to the locker room early for halftime.
Well, yeah, and his owner called him out, too.
He should.
He said, wish he was making headlines for his play instead of his mouth.
Yeah, and his antics. How do you just... You complain about your contract, you get that taken care of, and now you're complaining again. You got the biggest contract for a skill position player
ever. Yeah. Ever. What do you? And he's like, oh,
biggest contract for a non-quarterback.
Eli can still throw it, but I wish I had someone that can really zing it in there over the top. And it's like, are you fucking? Why would you say that?
Do you know how this works?
Yeah.
You can't re-sign and then choose who you want to be on the team.
You should have fucking left
agency. And decide which team you want to play for.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are your options.
You are not the GM. You don't get to select the quarterback. Not part of the job description.
But he is dominant on the field.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Those are the only people that can get away with it. Everyone else is just like, here's the door.
See you later.
Here you go.
Right.
All right, dude. This season, there's been a lot of craziness. A lot of teams we thought would be good aren't good. A lot of teams that, actually, I can't even say the reverse. A lot of teams, there's just not that many good teams.
There's not that many good teams. And the fact that the Patriots are starting to look pretty good, already overcoming adversity, it's looking pretty hopeful for them.
Looking very hopeful.
Like, they beat the Chiefs, so if records come down to it, they're going to have the tiebreaker. They might have home field again. For I don't know how many fucking years now in a row.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know anyone in the NFC that can really go toe-to-toe right now.
The Rams and the Saints.
But something about the Rams, man. I mean, you've been saying it all preseason and stuff. That team, I mean, their offense is really high-powered. But that defense is at some point, I feel like, just going to... If when the going gets tough, are they going to be able to handle it?
Yeah, the defense feels
it is at some point. Yeah, at some point, it's not going to be perfect for them.
And
they're going to have some losses.
I believe more in Drew Brees than I do in Jared Goff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I really believe in Sean McVay.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I mean, the Packers, we thought them, but they're defense is just a sieve, and that's not getting any better.
They just, yeah, what'd they give up, 31 points to the Niners the other day?
They don't even have a quarterback. Yeah, they were starting their rookie quarterback. It's like, Jesus. They were getting run all over by Matt Breida.
No, like, I thought that guy's injured.
No, he came back. Somebody else. He came back.
Oh, he came back already?
For the game, and he just owned them. It was like there was nobody on the field on defense. So then the Vikings just haven't put it together. So, yeah, man. It's looking good.
It seems pretty clear right now that the best teams in the league are the Saints, Rams, Chiefs, Pats.
Yeah.
That's a pretty clear, and everyone else is a little murky.
It's like everyone else is 3-3 or below.
You think probably the Eagles are the next one up. And I'm just not that confident about anybody.
Maybe the Ravens.
Maybe. Didn't the Ravens just lose to the Browns 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
Okay.
It was a slop fest, though.
I don't care.
Okay. All right.
I don't really care.
All right.
Yeah, that's a disqualification in my
mind. Alrighty.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week to talk more Patriots football and talk more shit about the NFL.
Absolutely.
See y'all.
Adios.